What is at stake? The first talk of the 2011 Oktoberfest conference, entitled How Jewish Was Jesus, was presented by Jack Crabtree on October 7, 2011. The copyright for this recording is held by Gutenberg College, Inc., 2011. Gutenberg College is a nonprofit organization, and contributions may be made at www.gutenberg.edu. This material may be copied and distributed in whole for non-commercial and educational purposes, subject to the inclusion of this introduction. All other rights reserved.
The issue tonight, my job in the next half hour is to try to give you some perspective on what's at stake with the question that this conference is all about today. How Jewish is Jesus? I keep going back between how Jewish is Jesus and how Jewish was Jesus. I'm not sure which the right verb is. But how Jewish was Jesus? We'll talk about the historical Jesus here. Why is it an important issue? What's at stake? The answer is yes. So we're going to expound on that in this seminar. Obviously, we're not asking the question, was he racially and ethnically Jewish? Of course he was. Sure. We all know that. So what exactly are we asking when we ask that question? You can come at that question at a lot of different angles. And let me list several of them that we are interested in tonight and tomorrow. In Jesus' teaching, is his teaching most importantly shaped by the concerns, the culture, and religion of the Jews? Or was it shaped by the concerns, culture, and religions of the Gentiles? The thesis of this conference is that it's shaped by the religion and culture and concerns of the Jews and not the Gentiles. Was Jesus first and foremost the long-expected Messiah who had been promised to the Jews? Or is he the first and foremost the Savior of mankind? Well, first and foremost, he was the long-promised Messiah of the Jews. Did Jesus come primarily to satisfy the yearnings of God's people, the Jews? Or did he come primarily to reveal a whole new plan of salvation for all of mankind? Well, primarily to satisfy the yearnings of the Jews. Did Jesus come to bring the religious faith of the Jews to its culmination and fulfillment? Or did Jesus come to start a whole new religion, the right and true one, and to displace the religion of the Jews? We'll argue that it was the culmination and fulfillment of the religious faith of the Jews, and that he didn't come to replace or displace the religion of the Jews at all. Did Jesus come to fulfill God's long-standing promises to Israel, or did he come to pass over God's narrower promises to them in order to satisfy mankind's universal need for salvation? Well, first and foremost, he came to fulfill God's long-standing promises to the Jews. Did Jesus make God's promises to the Jews obsolete and transform them into irrelevant ancient history? Or does Jesus fulfill exactly those promises that have been there for millennia? He came to fulfill those promises. Are we to understand the teaching and message of Jesus from the standpoint of the worldview and assumptions that he shared with Jews who were tutored in the Jewish scriptures, the Tanakh? Or are we to understand the teaching and message of Jesus from the standpoint of the worldview and assumptions of post-third century Christianity? Those are the issues that are of most concern to me and that I think we will address over the next several talks. In brief, the issue is how are we to understand the life, the claims, and the teaching of Jesus? Which standpoint? The standpoint of first century Judaism or the standpoint of fourth century Christianity? Now, if you grew up in Christianity at all, that's been answered for you whether you know that or not. That we have understood the teaching of Jesus from the standpoint of 4th century Christianity and on later. And my suggestion is we need a course correction in this. If we're really going to understand the Bible and understand what it teaches, if we're really going to understand the teaching of Jesus, then we need to understand that from the standpoint of 1st century Judaism. So that's the thesis of this conference. Why is this an issue? And I want to kind of develop this probably to an absurd degree. On your seat, you'll have my attempt at making the world book, the Guinness World Book of World Records, for the absolutely most ridiculous, superfluous, extraneous handout that the world has ever seen. I don't think it's necessary, but if it helps, it helps. I want to make an analogy. Imagine a set of jigsaw puzzles. You've got this table, this big, expansive table, and you have 9 jigsaw puzzles out on the table here, and they're all put together. As you know, a jigsaw can have a kind of certain hue to it. This will have a kind of a yellow cast, a blue, green, purple, a different cast to it. And sometimes that's helpful in knowing what, when your kids mix up all your jigsaw puzzles and you have to figure out which pieces go with which jigsaw puzzles, the peculiar cast to the piece can be helpful in knowing which jigsaw it belongs to. Assume, for the sake of argument, that all of these jigsaw puzzles have exactly the same, what do they call it, a die that they cut it with, so all the pieces are exactly the same and fit together in exactly the same way, so that you actually could interchange pieces, they just don't make the right picture, because all of these 9 jigsaw puzzles have a different picture on them. So imagine that. Now, somebody, just to be smart alecky or something, comes along and begins to take the middle puzzle. The middle puzzle is going to be the puzzle that you're supposed to put together. And they start displacing the pieces of the middle puzzle and discard them, put them in a discard pile. And they take puzzle pieces that correspond from other puzzles and stick them in the puzzle that's going to be yours to put together. And they take 3 or 4 pieces from this puzzle, and 3 or 4 from this puzzle, and 3 or 4 from this puzzle, and 5 from this puzzle, and they mix them all together, and then they take the puzzle apart, and so all they do is they give you a pile full of pieces and say, put this puzzle together. What's the picture in this puzzle? Well, you're going to have difficulty doing it because most of the pieces don't actually fit in that jigsaw puzzle. Because they're all of the same cut and same shape, you might be able to actually put the puzzle together, but you're not going to have any sort of coherent picture. You know, they ask you, what's this a picture of? I don't know. I just look at, Wes can tell you, it's abstract art. You know, but I don't know what this picture is. But what if you began to notice that, well, this piece here, I don't think it belongs in this puzzle. I see this other puzzle over here. I think this belongs over there. And then you go sorting through the discard pile and find a piece that actually fits there, that actually belongs to that puzzle. And bit by bit, you replace the pieces of the puzzle, and the picture begins to take some shape. And lo and behold, after a while, it manifests itself to you. Oh, it's a vase. My contention is that's exactly the situation that you and I probably have found ourselves in. Growing up in Christian culture, growing up in the church, what was given to me? A pile of pieces. Now, unlike in the jigsaw puzzle, in the church, of course, I was given a pile of pieces, and they told me, these are the right pieces. And don't you dare look anywhere else for any pieces. These are the right pieces. And if you said, well, you got your hand slapped, you know? You don't dare go looking for other pieces. These are the right pieces. Get it? These are the right pieces. Well, what's it a picture of? Well, you put it together. And it finally has dawned on me in my old age, it's finally dawned on me that I never did have a clear picture of what Christianity was all about. I could take each of the pieces out and look at them, and I was a Bible teacher. So as a Bible teacher, I could tell you all about that piece, what it looked like and how it was shaped and what color it was. I could give you all the details of that piece. Then you ask me another question, and I get the other piece, and I tell you all about that piece. But what's the picture of? What do you mean, what's the picture of? This is the truth. Here, this is the truth. What part of the truth would you like? And I can give you any ones of the parts of the truth, but it's not some simple, coherent, elegant representation of anything. And that's what I didn't know that that's what was bothering me about Christianity, but that's been bothering me about Christianity for most of my adult life. I started teaching the Bible 18 years ago, thinking I knew what it was all about because they had given me all the pieces. And the rest of my life has been spent trying to make sense out of all these pieces. What's it a picture of? And what I found myself doing is taking various pieces and noticing, you know, that I understand that piece, but I don't think it belongs here. And setting it aside and going to the discard pile where it had been discarded and finding that, lo and behold, there was another piece that fit in there. And bit by bit, I began replacing my pieces as I went along. And then about a year and a half or 2 years ago, I was having coffee with someone, and I was talking about one of the big changes that I had gone through in my thinking about an important doctrine in Christianity. And finally, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I just kind of stopped and I said, you know what? I think for the first time in my life, I get Christianity. I understand what this thing is. And why did that happen? I mean, why could I possibly have had that experience? Because the more pieces I replaced, the more the picture began to take place. And the more the picture began to take place, the more I recognized when there were pieces that were out of order. And I could go to work at examining them and deciding, well, what's the right piece, and replacing them, until finally, I think I got all the pieces to the puzzle. And what's the analogy that we're talking about? My contention would be that in the history of Christianity, what we were given by Jesus and the apostles was that middle puzzle that I'm talking about. And it was coherent, and it made sense, and it was simple, and it was straightforward. But within the first generation, people who had been taught by the apostles began to discard pieces of the puzzle and sticking other pieces in them. A little bit of paganism, a little bit of polytheism, a little bit of stoicism, a whole dose of Platonism, a little bit of mysticism here. And then over the course of time, as history went on, the Romans had an impact. You get to the Middle Ages, and that whole worldview began to displace pieces and put different pieces in there. The Enlightenment came along and displaced some of the pieces. We get to America and American Christianity. We Americans have invented some pieces to stick in the puzzle. And so you get to the 21st century, and what do I have? I have this just big handful of pieces of doctrines and beliefs and language and phrases and concepts, any one of which somebody can teach me how to think about it, but how on earth do we put it all together? We can't, and the reason we can't is because it doesn't belong together. It's not even from the right picture. It's from all kinds of strange and alien worldviews that have been borrowed from and stolen from and incorporated into what we call Christianity. To such a point where it really dawns on me, from where I'm at now, to call myself a Christian is actually very misleading. What I am is a follower of Jesus, who's the one who came and gave us the picture, the last word on what God was up to in the world. To be a student of Jesus is not necessarily adequately conveyed by saying I'm a Christian, because the term Christian has been ripped off. And Christian implies holding all these pieces that people have given us and said, don't you dare throw any of those away. You faithfully and loyally keep all those pieces and protect them. That's the truth. That's Christianity. What's it a picture of? Shut up, kid. Sit down. Those are the pieces. Keep them all safe. Well, why is that relevant to this conference? Because what I have also discovered in the course of putting that picture together for myself is that that picture has a very distinctively Jewish hue to it. I had been taught my whole life that Christianity comes in Gentile gold. That's the hue of this picture that you're trying to put together. Just remember, this is a Gentile gig. This is not a Jewish gig. They had their chance. They lost it. And so as we put it together, we were expecting to find Gentile Christianity as the picture that is conveyed on the pages of the Bible. But it always bothered me, even early on, when I was a college student, went away to college, and I read Augustine for the first time. I was a Baptist. I read Augustine for the first time. And I remember consciously thinking to myself, he's a Baptist? He doesn't sound like no Baptist. This guy sounds like a Catholic. There's this disconnect between what I was expecting to see and what I actually saw. And that disconnect was even more acute when I went to the Bible. What you expect to see in the Bible is church and worship and church boards and church politics and church pews and church rugs, you know. You expect to see church in the Bible. But instead of church, you found this Jewish man talking to Jewish people about Jewish ideas, answering Jewish questions, and doing a Jewish jig. I mean, it was Jewish from top to bottom. And this picture that I was able to put together explained to me why it's Jewish from top to bottom and what that's all about. But here's the analogy. When you have a jigsaw puzzle, you have the box, right? And you have a picture on the box with all these pieces. And by looking at the picture, that can help you put the puzzle together, find the right place for the pieces. The Bible functions that way for me, and as I think it should for you. We should go to the Bible to figure out what is this a picture of? But the Bible needs to be interpreted. And as you interpret the Bible, if you're expecting to see Gentile gold, I guarantee you, you're going to see Gentile gold. By hook or by crook, that's what you're going to find in the Bible. So deciding right up front that it really is okay for Jesus to be Jewish and for the biblical worldview to be a Jewish story, deciding that right up front is critical if we're going to rightly understand the Bible at all. Because if we resist that, then we're not going to get to the truth of the biblical worldview. Is it important to get to the truth of the biblical worldview? Well, as I understand the Bible, it's not a life or death issue. Christians are going to be saved, some of them. We don't have to believe the right things. We don't have to know our Bible in exactly the right way to get life eternally from God. It is about the mercy of God. And nothing can stop God from showing mercy to whoever he wants to show mercy to. He's not demanding that we get all the right answers first. So it's not a life or death issue. But on the other hand, have we not been entrusted with the message that Jesus brought into the world? Has that not been entrusted to us that we might take that to others, that we might persuade them of the good news of God's mercy for them and how, in fact, in the story of history, God has gone about bringing about that mercy? That's been a trust that's entrusted to us. Well, how are we going to take that message to the world if we don't even understand it? Take this picture to the world. Picture? What picture? Which part of the picture? What should I tell them? It's the Bible and understanding the Bible that's going to allow us to discard all the junk that has accrued in our thinking over the centuries. Get rid of the junk and replace it with the true biblical teaching of Jesus, and then be able to come to our own coherent understanding of that, that we might declare that to the world, in a world that these days desperately needs it even more than any other time. And how are we going to understand ourselves? How are we going to know who we are? Except by understanding the truth revealed in the Bible that Jesus came into the world to bring. By understanding the biblical truth, I know who God is and I know who I am. And knowing who I am is a vital human question, a vital human issue. But I can't know that without understanding the Bible. But how am I going to understand the Bible if I'm expecting to find a Gentile Christian after the 4th century speaking 4th century Christian stuff, and I instead encounter a Jew? How am I going to understand it? So we have to decide that question if we're even going to approach the Bible and let the Bible teach us. So that's what this conference is all about. That's what's at stake, is to hopefully you will come to see that the Bible really is a Jewish book. The biblical worldview is a Jewish worldview. And I hope this conference will inform you and enlighten you on that issue, that you might come to see that for yourself. We hope that you'll begin to see how all the pieces of the biblical puzzle, both Old Testament and New Testament, can begin to take shape into a simple, coherent, elegant picture of what God has done, what he's doing, and what he shall yet do in created reality. That's our hope.